in the last couple centuries before the birth of Christ, there appeared in Jewish literature a reflection or many reflections on the wisdom of God. Several different writings were written which focus on this theme of God's wisdom. Sometimes in that literature, the wisdom of God is spoken of almost as if it were a distinct person within God. And this was before the revelation of the Trinity. But already, somehow, Jewish thought seemed to be moving in that direction, that there is a distinct wisdom within God. Our reading this morning comes out of that literature. It's what the scholars call the wisdom literature. But note what it's saying in the reading this morning. And also note that it speaks about the wisdom of God in the feminine. It says, "Wisdom has dressed her meat, mixed her wine, spread her table." Then a little later in that passage, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed." Then right at the end, "Forsake foolishness that you may live and advance in understanding." Especially that last line gives us a real sense that is speaking about something other than physical food, about food for our tummies. It's speaking about something much deeper, much more profound. Now, the fullness of that sense of this banquet that God wants to prepare for us comes out in the gospel reading today. That we see in the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my life for the world." And Jesus is preparing a banquet for us. But again, it's not a banquet that's just going to fill our tummies for a day or two. The banquet that is prepared for us is a banquet for eternal life. Jesus comes to us to give himself to us so that we might live forever. We might share his life forever. Another important part in that passage of the gospel today is when the Jews who heard him begin to, as it says, murmur among themselves. Jesus doesn't say, "Hey folks, I just mean this symbolically." He doesn't do that. Instead, he makes his doctrine just a little bit more difficult to accept. He goes on to say, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." Now, in next week's reading of the gospel, we're going to see that Jesus was so firm in that doctrine that we must eat his body and drink his blood, that he seems very prepared to let all the apostles leave him if they could not buy into what he was saying. And we'll see that next week. But the important thing for us this morning is simply how real Jesus wanted us to take that. It is his body that we must eat, his blood that we must drink. He wants to give that to us so that we can share his life forever. He wants to give us his very self. Now, there's a word in the gospel this morning which appears 40-some times in the writings of St. John, his gospel and the first letter of St. John. And that is the word remain, or sometimes it's translated abide. Remain in me, abide in me. From that word, we can begin to get an understanding that Jesus is wanting an intimate oneness with us, a deep union with us. He wants to dwell within us, and he wants us to dwell within him. He wants a union that is on a very deep spiritual level. Obviously, physically, we can't do that. But spiritually, we can. We can be caught up in a deep, profound union with Christ Jesus, our Savior. And that is what he came for. To draw us into that deep oneness with himself. And he gives us the sacrament of his body and blood so that he can literally be taken into us. He can become part of us. We can become part of him. And of course, his ultimate goal is transforming us, making us more and more into his image, that we become so much caught up with him that we live with him forever in the kingdom of our Father. And we can be like those Jews in the gospel reading today. We can say, how can he give us his flesh to eat? And it's a good question. But we need to stop and think a moment. If Jesus, the Son of God, or as the beginning of John's gospel calls him, the Word of God, if the Word of God could say at the beginning of creation, let there be light, and light come, or let us create man in our own image, and the human race was created, if his word is that powerful, is that creative, then what is to stop him from taking bread and changing it into his body, taking wine and transforming it into his blood? His word is powerful. He wants to take those very common substances and make it into his very self so that he can nourish us, give life to us. Again, not a nourishment for our bodies, but very much a nourishment for our journey on the kingdom of heaven. Now some will say, well, if Jesus was here speaking that, I could buy that. But we know that our priests, our bishops, and we've had too much knowledge of this week, are very sinful. All of us are sinners. How can my words transform that bread, transform that wine? It has been the understanding of the church through the centuries that when the priest or the bishop speaks those words, he speaks them not in his own person, but in the person of Jesus Christ. And so it is as Jesus himself is saying, this is my body, this is my blood. Comes the transforming power to change that bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Throughout these past 4 weeks when we've been reflecting on the Gospel of St. John, several times I've referred to the manna in the desert. Now that was the food that would appear on the desert every morning. And that was what the Jews were to eat in that 40-year trek through the journey. Well, Jesus compares what he gives us to that manna, that heavenly bread. Now, There's a lot of comparison, but I think there's some contrast also. That bread was a physical bread. It was meant to give them physical strength to journey through the desert. The Eucharistic bread is a spiritual bread. It's meant to nourish us in our spiritual journey to the kingdom of our God. And for those early Jews, all they had to do was eat it, and they were nourished. But for us, to come to the Eucharist, something different is required. It's not only to physically take it into ourselves, but it is to have that yearning, that desire, that readiness to allow it to transform us. It does no good to receive the Eucharist if I don't want to be brought into Christ Jesus. If I don't want his life to live in me, receiving the Eucharist will have no effect in my life. I have to want that transformation. I have to want to be, in a sense, recreated. I have to desire that deep union with Christ Jesus, our Savior. If I want it, if I desire it, then Jesus gives us himself to transform us and make us into his image. Because that is truly his goal, to transform us, to renew us, to draw us, to share his life forever in the kingdom of our Father.